And with me in the Care of Yes studios this afternoon are Molly Richard and Mark Hernandez. Molly is the market manager for the market at the Horse Farm, and Mark is a part of the market that takes place every Saturday at the Horse Farm. I know there have been a lot of special events out there recently, the public forums, trying to get people to share their vision of how they would like the park to happen. People have noticed some special events. I think Gulf Brew was out there. There have been a couple weddings out there. So the space is getting used for a lot of special things. But one thing that is very consistent is every Saturday, the market takes place at the Horse Farm. And the title is actually quite a bit longer. Molly, what's the actual formal name for the market?
The formal name is the Lafayette Farmers and Artisans Market at the Horse Farm.
All right.
It's a mouthful.
So just market at the Horse Farm will work for
That'll
most
do,
people.
Sure.
And there are artists and there are farmers. So there's produce and there are crafts and arts there as well. Mm-hmm. And that has been happening almost from the moment it was opened up to the public.
Correct. Yes. I think that was what opened it up to the public, actually.
Yes, that market that allowed people to actually get on the property.
That's right. And there's not only artists and produce people. There's also people selling honey. There's pasta girl. There's
pies, kale chips.
Yeah. Goat cheese, a wide assortment of products and products that these vendors are very passionate about, and it shows in their product.
Right.
One of the interesting things about the Horse Farm and the market in general was that the consulting firm that came in told Mr. Joey Durrell that one of the best things that could happen to this property is a farmer's market.
Which you all had been doing since the beginning.
That's right. And so that was very interesting from the inception of the market, was that to see what this market could do for Lafayette and for the park.
Right. Well, now, Molly, you actually came back from Montana.
Correct.
To manage this market. So that's a big draw. You must have been really attracted to the setup. What was it that drew you back to do this?
Well, I had wanted to come back to Lafayette anyway, because it's the best place in the world. But I was also working with a family agriculture group in Montana, and so I was learning a lot about local food economies and what it means whenever a community can produce its own food and keep its food money in the same place, I guess. And so the opportunity to come back and help with a farmer's market in Lafayette was just kind of a dream, so it worked out.
So you had to go far away in order to pursue your dream of doing that, working with sustainable products and farming. So you'd had to go away to do that. And that's kind of an ironic thing, isn't it? Because as we've said here so many times, our grandparents and great-grandparents were perfectly sustainable, weren't they?
Absolutely.
And it's like something got lost. And those in your generation who are very interested in growing food, their own food, have had to go away, either to be educated or to work. So you saw this as a great opportunity to come back.
Yeah, it was perfect. So I was excited to hear it was happening and eager to get back.
Yeah. So for people who have not yet attended one of the markets, describe the scope of it. I mean, I know people see what's sort of right at Johnston Street, but they may not have a sense of what's there every Saturday morning.
Every Saturday morning, there's a lot of really great food, a lot of really happy people. There's music. We have a Cajun jam every week. And then there's always the beautiful Horse Farm property as the backdrop to the entire market. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty to do.
Well, one thing that we constantly get from customers is the feeling that they walk away with from the market is so inspiring for me whenever I see a customer come in at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and realize that 3 hours later they're still here enjoying the property, enjoying the music, and more importantly, enjoying each other. It's a way for the community to really have that neighborhood type feel on a location that is in the middle of town, 100 acres, agricultural history. Everything about this property just feels good.
Right. And, you know, we hear people who've traveled to Europe or other places, they talk about this idea of a market being a gathering place.
Absolutely.
With not just food, but perhaps other kinds of vendors, entertainers, where you can spend a whole morning.
That's right. Yeah. And it's kind of multicultural, I guess, or multi-age appropriate, I guess. Kids, you know, as young as 4 or 5 years old, enjoying the property, running. It's such a safe environment. You know, we have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and it's so wonderful for them to just be able to run out. And, you know, it's all a gated property. So, you know, there's young children and there's middle-aged people exercising and all. And there's also elderly that come and sit and read book and just listen to music. Mm-hmm. It's really just a great atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just a question of acquiring your week's groceries.
That's right.
But it's very social. That's right. And people are getting a full cultural experience.
Absolutely.
There at the same time. Well, now, Molly went away because she was very interested in working with sustainable agriculture, food, farms. But what's your history? How did you get into growing your own food?
Well, as far as I can remember, when I was about 4 or 5 years old is when I first had an idea of what it meant to grow food. We had a neighbor who was from France. She was a Louisa Poupart, and we grew up next door to her. And I remember from an early age seeing her walk out behind her bakery there, go out into the woods, into the field, and gather things. She'd have mushrooms and dandelion and just all kinds of things. And so she inspired me when I was really young to grow my first carrot top. She'd, you know, cut the top off of the carrot. And I put it into the ground, to my amazement, it grew a bit. And I'm a pretty docile person, but her son, mm-hmm. who's also my age, was very skeptical of the operation and yanked the carrot out and upset me pretty much. You know, so I've been growing since a early age. Mm-hmm. Commercially, only the last 3 years, however.
Okay, so it's been a personal interest of yours for a long time. So what happened after that carrot?
I continue to experiment. I still continue to experiment, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. And what did you find yourself leaning towards? What were your interests? I mean, obviously some people like fruit, some people, what did you like?
Well, I love vegetables, mm-hmm. and I love propagation, and I love the idea of being able to manipulate the soils to be able to give back what it needs to give mm-hmm. back. And so one thing that we do is we don't particularly grow the plant, we grow the soil. And so when you can do that, everything else seems to take care of itself. So it's a constant struggle to keep the soils fertile enough to be able to provide for us.
Mm-hmm. So did you go away to study this?
I graduated UL here in 96 in general studies. And I had a mentor. His name was Dr. Gary Joy, who was a biologist here on campus. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the first people that I knew of that was growing organically here.
I remember his stretch of property in Grand-Coteau.
That's right. He was in Grand-Coteau. And we've always had wonderful conversations gardening. Unfortunately, he passed away not too long ago. And so from that point, I decided that I would go ahead and live out the dream that I had for myself and become a commercial grower or mm-hmm. market gardener, as some people call mm-hmm. us.
Now, were you beginning to sustain your family before you actually went into the commercial aspect of it? Were you all?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've always grown a vegetable garden for mm-hmm. the family, sometimes more successfully than others. But that's part of the process, is to learn what works and what doesn't. And the main thing about being a market gardener is being an observer and understanding what works and what doesn't and why those things work and why they don't.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that you were gravitating towards vegetables that were traditionally grown around here? Did you experiment, try new?
Yeah, one thing about being a local market gardener is that you can experiment with varieties and things that typically you won't find on a grocery shelf. For the main reason being that most of those things are produced for shelf life and for the ability to travel. And so we're able to grow varieties that are more wholesome, mm-hmm. More flavorful, and do better in local markets.
Right, and they're quite ripe and fresh when you bring them.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties. You know, our tomatoes are not baseballs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're tomatoes, you know, and so when we pick them, they're fully ripened, mm-hmm. and the flavor is built in them, you know.
Well, when you say that, just that, you know, they're real tomatoes, they're fresh, I'm sure that must bring back lots of memories for people who come to the farmer's market and experience these kinds of vegetables. Do you have a lot of conversations?
Yeah, that's one of the great things. Absolutely. I love about a farmer's market is that we really get to know the customer. There's, for an example, we grow a radish, which we have on the tables the last few weeks, called d'Avignon, or French breakfast radish. And I didn't know too much about them until I started growing them a few years ago. And the more I grow them, more European people come up to the table and mm-hmm. say, I haven't seen that since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they call them a French breakfast radish. They'll dip them in butter and eat them raw for breakfast in France. Mm-hmm. And I have one lady that every time I plant them, I think of her. Her name's Martine. She's a European lady. And so that's one of the some of the connections about the farmers market. You really get to know your producer, and you get to know how they grow things. And it's just a more intimate food system.
And of course, you have elderly people from this area who go to the farmers market as well, and they must have great conversations.
Yeah,
too,
you know, it's funny how different foods bring out different aspects of one's life. What's always intriguing to me is collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens. You would think they'd all be the same, but people have their opinions
their
about them. Yeah. And so it's always a little socio-economic experiment with all those type things, you know.
Well, I hope you're writing all these things down and conversations that you have or just notating. You know, that's almost like anthropology or folklore.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Food anthropology.
That's right.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are Molly Richard, who is the manager of the market at the Horse Farm, which takes place every Saturday at the Horse Farm on Johnston Street, and Mark Hernandez with City Farms, who is at this farmer's market. Well, describe the structure of it. About how many artisans and growers do you have each Saturday?
Every Saturday we have about, I would say, six growers, and then between two and three people who bring either meat or milk and cheese.
Honey.
And then we also have a lot of artisans and a lot of value-added products. So that would include anybody making jams or preserves, pies, and we also have a lot of healthy snacks too, homemade pasta and kale chips and creative, innovative snacks like that. And so that our percentage of artisans and farmers and value-added vendors changes with the seasons. But right now I guess we're about 50-50, I would say. So
each week we have about 60 vendors that are there. And so one of the things that we get is that, we're so amazed at the variety of items that are here, you know. And so that's a good thing. There's all kinds of different foods that can be found there.
Right. So what are you in? Of course, the horse farm is in process right now, and they're working on the vision for what it will ultimately become. So what are you all thinking as the market at the horse farm? What are you envisioning for the market? I'm sure you all have lots of ideas.
Yeah. You know, one great thing about the process, and it was so exciting for me, is to think that we're here from the inception of this park. I mean, this is going to be big for Lafayette. And so it's rare that you can stumble onto something and feel like you've won the lottery and just dream big and hope that it comes true. And so my dream for this property is that we would have like an open-air European-style pavilion market, place where all the vendors can be under one roof, hopefully. Easy access for customers and really just bring – sorry about that.
And I assume that you filled out one of those survey forms.
Absolutely, we did.
During the horse farm survey.
Absolutely.
And I know there's another round coming up in November, so a lot of people have had this opportunity to say what they would like to see there.
And at the forum that I was at least, there was probably – almost 100% of the people there were like, yeah, we want to see a farmer's market. And so that was really encouraging.
Absolutely.
I would like to challenge your listeners. If agriculture or family farms and all of those type things are important to your listeners, I encourage them to get involved with the process. Now is the time to really have your voice heard and put it out there for the community to start to think about this property in regards to supporting local agriculture.
Right, and they can do that by going to the website or the Facebook page for Lafayette Central Park, park at the Horse Farm.
That's right.
They can find, and I think that survey may still be there as well. And then another round in November will be coming up to present these visions, and people can vote on those. So how has it been, Molly, since you've been back? Was it a good thing to come back and manage the market at the horse farm?
It's been awesome. I think, too, whenever I left, I wasn't clued into all of the exciting things that are happening and growers in the area and sustainable agriculture. And so to come back after being away for 5 years and realize there are so many people who are thinking the same way that I am about food, and to get to meet all of them and work with them and help, you know, create a market for them to sell out was really exciting. So
right.
I've loved it.
And in addition to that, of course, there are just countless people, again, in y'all's generation that are just starting gardens. You know, that,
right.
that seems to, there's a resurgence
right.
of that as well.
Yeah.
And even kind of local beekeeping and, you know, things on a very personal level.
That's right.
People. So do you find people are inspired when they go to the market and they see what you all have
Yeah,
there?
I believe so. I think, you know, part of the idea behind that is that it's a venue for them to be able to move their product.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage people that if they are interested and, mm-hmm. and want to make a little bit of extra income, that mm-hmm. this is a great opportunity to get involved with our market.
So even if just, they just have like a
yeah.
little row of beans or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
yeah, that's another really exciting part of what I get to mm-hmm. do is I got an application the other day and called in the person who submitted it and was just asking about what they're interested in selling at the market. And they've always wanted to farm and have just never thought it was financially possible until now when they have a venue to sell it to. So
right, yeah. and a way to reach people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes approaching a market can be an intimidating thing to do. One thing that we've always wanted to do with our market is to have what we consider to be an open market where vendors are allowed to come and go as their mm-hmm. product is available.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it's just, to me, it's a more friendly type atmosphere.
Right, and as Molly said, it's so seasonal.
That's
you know,
right.
Particularly
That's right.
here in Louisiana.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So is there a way people can find out more? Do you all have a Facebook page in particular, or how do they find out about the market?
We do. We have a Facebook page and a website. Mm-hmm. So if you just type into Facebook our entire name, Lafayette Farmers and Artisans Market okay. at the Horse Farm, we should show up. And then also our website is marketatthehorsefarm.com. And on there we have we just put up a November events calendar, so you can keep track of we have weekly workshops. So for instance, Mark did a soil preparation workshop a couple weeks ago. So every week we try to provide education to the community. And other events here and there, we have a photo contest coming up. Starts this week, actually, and it's all through November. Anybody who takes a photo at the market can submit it to a photo contest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so what other kinds of workshops are you going to be having? I mean, the soil preparation sounds like that would have been well attended.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the kind of gardening type workshops, and it'll be a series. We'll start with soil prep, and then David Clear with Helping Hands Farms. He did something on seeding and transplant, and then we did like harvest and post-harvest. Mm-hmm. So we'll do gardening, and then we'll do what else, Molly?
Well, this week we have sprouts. Mary Patu for Mary Mary Market is going to be talking about the health benefits of eating sprouts,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to do a planting demonstration too. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to have later in November, we'll have a pottery demonstration. So we'll get the artisan aspect involved.
So we'll try to go down the list of vendors to give them an opportunity to show off their talents.
Yeah, well, to share and
to
show others how to do the same thing as
absolutely.
Well. Now, is there a place where you have the workshops? Is there some place that's covered, or where do you have the workshops?
Our intention every single week has been to do it under the oak trees because it's so beautiful, and the Cajun Jam ends at 11, so we do the workshops starting right after at 11 where the chairs are already out and everything. And so a couple of times we've had to move it under our tent just because threats of rain that never actually fell. We've been really lucky. We've moved it under the welcome tent, but we have a chalkboard at the entrance of the market that will always let you know where the presentation will be. But typically it's under the beautiful oak trees at the front of the property.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't think you could get too lost
right.
in the market yet. So Facebook page is a good place to go if you want to keep up with what the workshops are, or I guess on your website you'll have those posted as well.
Correct.
So you could ostensibly learn something every weekend about either growing or preparing or creating something.
Cooking.
Absolutely. Again, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about the market at the Horse Farm. My guests are the market manager, Molly Richard, and Mark Hernandez with City Farms, who is with the market as well, both in the process of developing this resource for us all as the Horse Farm itself, Lafayette Central Park, is growing and developing. So you all are growing together. So are you going to continue throughout the winter? You're not planning to have any hiatus?
No. We consider fall and winter to be our second spring here in South Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a year-round market, and we'll be there every Saturday. The fall crops are coming in now, so we have lettuce and all the beets and carrots and all those good things, and that'll continue well until spring.
Right. And I can only imagine, I'm just thinking, you know, I've been interviewing people at Vermilionville, of course, with the Seed to Table series that they have, and the Master Gardeners with the Plant Festival.
Yes.
And I can imagine this really resurging, you know, people becoming quite accomplished gardeners and being able to make their own, you know, items like the jams and jellies.
That's the vision. Mm-hmm. That's what we hope to achieve at the market.
There seems to be this critical mass
that's
developing here.
That's right. You know, it's for me, it's about quality of life here in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And that's just one component of our city here in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. We love to be educated. We love to be entertained. We love to be fed good food. And so all those things come together at the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we like to be self-sufficient too around
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
You know? And even though there may have been like this little break between our grandparents and what we're doing now, I think that really pleases people to think that they could grow something or –
That's right.
Something.
People, you know, oftentimes ask me if I'm a first-generation farmer, and I say, not really. You know,
I mean,
a few generations past, I'm sure there are farmers in my line, but a few of us are actually first-generation farmers.
Yeah, so find out about those roots. And if
That's
you
right.
have farming in your past, you may want to find out a little bit more about it. And the horse farm is a good place to start.
Absolutely.
And even if you don't have farming in your roots, it's kind of fun. Whenever I got home one market and I made stuffed bell peppers, and I could name every single person that was responsible for every single part of my meal. And
so
that was,
you were inspired by what you had seen and heard at the market.
Right. And it was kind of like creating non-traditional farming roots for myself. I do my great-grandparents were rice farmers, but that was the disconnect, I guess. But now I know people who are continuing to farm, and I can still support them and be connected to their experience through what I choose to eat.
Right. You know, rice farming obviously is not something you can just do in your backyard.
Right.
You need something a little bit larger for that. Thank goodness there are so many who do that in South Louisiana. Again, my guest talking about the Market at the Horse Farm takes place every Saturday, including this Saturday, which looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day.
It's gonna be a good one,
almost a crisp fall day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's November. We're finally getting one of those. So about how many vendors do you think you'll be having? You mentioned 60. You think you'll have about that many?
About 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. And what is the workshop this?
This week is Mary Patu from Mary Mary Markets is going to talk about the health benefits of eating sprouts and do a seeding demonstration too.
On how to make your own sprouts.
Sure. And one exciting thing about this week is that it's you all homecoming. I'm sure everybody's well aware. And so we're going to have homecoming court members and other student leaders ring our bell. We have a tradition at the market that at 8 in the morning, there's a bell ringer, and it's someone from the community or an organization from the community that we want to honor. And so this week, well, in the spirit of you all homecoming, we'll have you all students ring it.
Right. So. And what time is that?
At 8 a.m.
8 o'clock. So you have to be there pretty early. But that's kind of traditional. Try to be early and you get the best things
as
well.
Exactly.
You know, book sales and farmers markets.
That's
you get the best items. So this Saturday, honoring homecoming and the homecoming court, they'll be ringing the bell. Mm-hmm. The Market at the Horse Farm is open as it is every Saturday at the Lafayette Central Park. Although I can see years from now people still saying the horse farm.
Sure.
And my guests will be there. The manager of the market, Molly Richard, and Mark Hernandez with City Farms will be there. Well, thank you both for letting us know more about this market in our midst and some of your plans for the future. And we look forward to having you back as the market grows.
Well, thank you for having us.
And if I can mention one last thing, we do have a booth decorating contest this week. Vendors are decorating their booths in the UL theme, and customers can come out and vote for them. So hopefully we'll see you there to vote.
Celebrate homecoming. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.